Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Ki Teitzeh, we have 5 Divrei Torah. The Parsha is chock full of various mitzvahs and isurim. We're not going to go through all of the mitzvahs, although there is a lot to discuss. We're going to focus a little bit on the beginning, talking about the Afas Torah. The Afas Torah is when the Jews go out to war, and a man sees a beautiful woman, and he's a non-Jewish woman, and there's a process that he can indeed marry her. So that is discussed in this week's Parsha. And right after that, fairly right after that, there's a discussion of the Ben Soror Moreh. In English, the wayward son, the son that is a disaster. And there are various acts that he takes that we can see that he's really going off the derech. And there is a process through which to put that child to death. It has to be a certain age, only a boy, etc. So we are going to talk about a little bit the wayward son. And then there is a whole discussion of who is it permitted to marry, who can convert, who cannot convert. And we will have various Divrei Torah on that as well. But again, the Parsha is full of numerous beautiful mitzvahs and isurim to avoid. We are going to start out with Dvar Torah number 1, talking about that Yafas Torah, the beautiful woman that is seen in war. And it says in Perek Chaval of Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Lakachta Lachai Ishan, you will take her. There's, if you go through the proper process, then the Jewish man can take her as a wife. Rashi comments as follows, and we're going to focus on the language in Rashi, quoting a Chazal Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara, that in fact the Torah institutes this process, this procedure, that the Jewish man indeed can marry that non-Jewish woman because of the Yetzer Hara. And war is not simple. There is a lot going on, a lot of stress, and the evil inclination raises its wily head in that context as well, and does attack people and really inspires them, unfortunately, to do bad stuff. So here, the Torah is saying that the pashtus of what is going on here is the Torah is addressing the Yetzer Hara here, because there is going to be a deep desire on behalf of the man in that stressful situation to acquire, to marry that non-Jewish woman. So there is set out a process. Now we're going to focus on this language. It says, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah only spoke about the Yetzer Hara. And in fact, we could have said this shorter. Rashi is quoting a Chazal. The shorter way would be to say it, Lo Dibra, not only did the Torah accept, the Torah spoke about the Yetzer Hara. It could have said, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah was addressing the Yetzer Hara. And it says, the Torah only spoke about the Yetzer Hara. The implication here of the Hebrew, I'm not translating it very well, but Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah was only addressing the Yetzer Hara. It seems that it's saying that the Torah was not addressing something else. It's addressing A, but it is not addressing B. And we're going to have to try to understand what is going on, that we have this lengthy sentence, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara, instead of simply saying Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah was addressing the Yetzer Hara. So in fact, there is a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Samach Gimel, that says that Rav had a difficult wife. The great Rav, the great rabbi, the great Rav, he was called by Rav. He had a very difficult wife, and she caused him a lot of sorrow. And his students asked him as follows, why don't you distance her, stay away from her, maybe even divorce her? So he says, I'm not going to do that. And he says as follows, this is the language in the Gemara in Yevamos. Rav says why he's going to stay married to his wife. Dayenu shemegadlos es b'neinu. It is enough that the woman, they raise our children. And number 2, umetzilos asanu min achet, and they save us from sin. By virtue of being married, the wives are able to, and they're necessary to raise the children. And in addition, they keep us away from sinning in other contexts, because we have a wife. We, as a wife, we don't have to do sinful activity. So here we see that these are the minimum, but required necessities of a wife, raising the children and keeping us away from sin. So accordingly, if we look at the context of what we're talking about here, when it says in our pasuk, "V'lakachta lechalishan," you should take for yourself a wife, that is talking about the Yafas Tohar. But as mentioned in the introduction, the Yafas Tohar is in close proximity to what happens afterward, the Ben Soror Umore, the wayward child, the not good child. And in fact, Rashi brings the Chazal that says that if indeed you go forward with the Yafas Torah, you go through the approved process, and you do marry that Yafas Torah, it's not going to be good in the following sense, that she will give birth to a Ben Sora or Humora, to that wayward son. And accordingly, we can understand what's going on here, that Rav is telling us, even when you have a difficult marriage and a difficult wife, but nonetheless, she'll raise the children and she'll also save us from sin. But in the context of the Yafas Tohar, if she is going to, if somebody's going to marry the Yafas Tohar, she is going to give birth to the Ben Soror Umora. That first imperative of the wife raising the kids is going to be a failure, because she is going to be raising a Ben Soror Umora. That is not what we want. That is a failed act. That is a failed child. So accordingly, we are only left with, when somebody marries a Yafas Tohar, it's not going to be raising the child that's going to be something that's beneficial, but it will still be beneficial that she will save him from sinning elsewhere. And accordingly, now we can understand the language of Rashi, that he says, Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah was addressing that you can marry the Yafas Tohar, but it's limited. The Torah was only talking about the Yetzer Hara. In other words, although typically when somebody has a wife, there are a minimum of two wonderful things. That is, she raises the kids and saves from sin. But when it comes to marrying Yafas Tohar, there's only going to be one. It's going to be limited to Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah was only talking about that she is going to serve the function of avoiding the Yetzer Hara, keeping us from sin. But it would not address the second of raising the children, because she would be giving birth to Ben Sorer Umora. So now we understand why the lush and the language of Rashi is Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara, to exclude her raising the children because she'll be raising a Ben Sorer Umora, and did not say the much simpler language, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah is addressing the HR. There's much more going on because of this language. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. It is on the same pasuk, V'lakachta lecha l'isha. Somebody in the context of war sees the Yafas Torah, wants to marry her. And it goes as follows, the derech of the Yitzhar. And this is indeed, this is human nature, says the Rav from Prishlin. He says as follows, and this we know, the derech of the Yitzhar Hara is it comes to seduce us to do what the Torah doesn't want us to do. In other words, it tells us if there's a mitzvah to do, don't do the mitzvah. It tries to dissuade us to do from what we should be doing. So if we know we have to wake up for Shachas and say Kriya Shema in the morning, the Yetzer Hara says, sleep in, don't do it. If we have a Seder to go to, the Yetzer Hara says, don't do it. Any positive thing, any positive mitzvah, it says, don't do that mitzvah. And any negative thing that we are supposed to avoid, the Yetzer Hara indeed says, do it. Do it. So the Yetzer Hara is always acting against what the Torah wants us to do. If the Torah says yes, the Yetzer Hara says no. If the Torah says no, the Yetzer Hara says yes. Always the opposite of what it should be. And accordingly, here we have the Torah knew that that's the way of the Yetzer Hara. So the Torah is addressing the Yetzer Hara. That's why it says Lo Dibra Torah Ela Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah knew when it comes to the Yetzer Hara that if there is a man out in war and he sees a beautiful woman, he is going to want to marry her. He's going to want to be involved with her. And accordingly, the Torah says we know what's going to happen. And if we don't permit it, we know that the Yetzer Hara is going to convince this man to go for it. Accordingly, the Torah says, we are going to permit it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's permitted. The Yafas Torah is a permitted as long as you follow the procedures. And accordingly, because the Torah is permitting it, then the Yetzer Hara is going to tell us, but don't do it. The Yetzer Hara is always going to tell us the opposite of what can be done. So if the Torah says yes, the Yetzer Hara is going to say no. And accordingly, that's really why the Torah permitted it. The Torah is addressing the Yetzer Hara. If we don't permit it, then the Yetzer Hara is going to convince the man to do it. Let's permit it. And then the Yetzer Hara will work on our team and convince the man to not move forward with the Yafas Torah. That is number 2. Now we're going to have number 3. We're moving forward to Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, and we're going to talk about forbidden marriages. And one of the forbidden marriages and talked about in this Pasuk is the Mamzer, the illegitimate child, a Mamzer. For example, if somebody has a child from a close relative, so that is a Mamzer. And the Pasuk tells us that that Mamzer can never join Klal Yisrael. Gam Dor HaAsiri Lo Yavolo B'Kal Hashem. And even in the 10th generation down from the Mamzer, For example, if there was a mamzer and he marries or cohabits with a Jewish woman, that child, that's the next generation down, is going to be prohibited. And if that child cohabits with a kosher or otherwise woman, and they have a child, still, because you have the mamzer at the top there, that illegitimate child, that child, the child of the child, second generation, third generation, all the way down, here the pasuk says, Gam Dor HaAsiri, even the 10th generation down, Lo Yavo B'Kal Hashem, is not permitted to come into Klal Yisrael. And the question is as follows: when it comes to a mamzer, the prohibition is for eternity. The prohibition is for eternity. Accordingly, why does it say here specifically the 10th generation? Even the 11th and 12th, it keeps on going. So what is special about the 10th generation that it had to flag, even in the 10th generation, that mamzer is not permitted, the 10th generation down from the mamzer, the 10th generation down from that mamzer is not permitted to come into Klal Yisrael as well? So there's actually a Yerushalmi that says, that discusses the halachas of bittul. There are concepts of when you have something that's permitted and something that's prohibited. For example, food. If you have a permitted food and a prohibited food, typically a default would be as long as there's not a tam, as long as there's not a taste given from the prohibited food to the kosher food, then it would be batal b'shishim. As long as you have 60 times more the permitted versus the prohibited, it's going to be nullified in 60. You have 60 times more permitted than prohibited, the prohibited will be nullified and the mixture is going to be permitted. There is an exception to the rule if you have something that's called a birya. A birya is something that's an entity into itself. For example, a bug would be a birya. And even if you have 60 times more than that birya, that bug, that will not be Butl. You're not going to nullify the birya, even if you have 60 times, 100 times, etc. It's not going to nullify that bug. However, there is an opinion brought in the Yerushalmi that if you have 960 times more, if you have 960 times heter versus a birya, typically you only need 60 times. But if you have a birya that has significance into itself, that will be nullified as well. So 960 would be our cutoff. So if you have more than 960, heter versus Isra would be nullified. If you have less, it wouldn't be nullified. That's the opinion in the Yerushalmi. So accordingly, if we're going to track it down, if we have somebody who is a mamzer, prohibited to enter Klal Yisrael, but gets married or has a child from a kosher woman, so the next generation down, the first generation down, is going to be half of that person, 50-50. Half is going to be mamzer in that person, and half is going to be from the father. Say it's, he's a mamzer, she's not a mamzer, she's kosher. So if they have a child together, half of that child is going to have mamzer. It's half mamzer, half not mamzer. Can't come into Klal Yisrael because there's a half mamzer. Second generation down, in other words, that child who was a half mamzer has a child with somebody, and it was a quarter mamzer, their child. That's the third generation down. And if we keep on going through the math as keeping having to have children, prohibited children, you're not allowed to do that. But even if they would, so it becomes from a half to a quarter to an eighth to a sixteenth. We're just multiplying by two. 132, 164, 128, 256, 512. And the 10th generation down is 1 out of 1,024. Accordingly, we would think to say, based on the opinion in the Yerushalmi, that typically you can't be mevatel abiria, something that is an entity, something that's significant in itself, but at 960 you can. So where do you pass that line between the 9th and 10th generations when we're talking about a mamzer? You go from being 1 out of 512 is the child in the 9th generation, that's below the 960, so it's not batal. And then once you get to the 10th generation, one more generation down, it is only 1 out of 1,024 mamzerus in that child. So according to that opinion in the Rishami, we are thinking incorrectly that now in the 10th generation, this child is permitted to come into Klal Yisrael because it's less than 960, 1/960th that is in this child of Mamzeris. The Pasuk is coming to teach us, Gam Dom Dor HaAsiri Lo Yavo Lo B'Kal Hashem. Even the 10th generation, you would have thought the 10th generation can indeed come into Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk is telling us, no, even the 10th generation, it's for all eternity that Imamzer cannot come in, even the smallest percentage, even if it is a smaller percentage than 960, 1 out of 960, still that child cannot enter Klal Yisrael. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are in the very next Pasuk, continuing to discuss forbidden marriages. We are in Perek Chaf Gimel Pasuk Dalin, and it says, Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bikal Hashems, and somebody from the nation of Ammon and somebody from the nation of Moab cannot as well, just like the Mamzer, cannot come into Klal Yisrael. So Chazal tell us that David HaMelech had a problem. There were people who were attacking him. Detractors of David HaMelech, they tried to disqualify him from marrying into Klal Yisrael with the following statement, with the following claim, that his ancestress was Ruth HaMoaviah. Ruth was from the nation of Moab. She was a female Moabite. And accordingly, they were saying, David HaMelech, not permitted, based on this pasuk, Lo Yavo Amoni Moavi B'Kal Hashem, and she's a Moavi. She is from the nation of Moab. They can never marry into the nation of Israel until it became clarified that he was permitted, because there was a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. Although it's not in the pasuk, it doesn't say it in the pasuk. The pasuk simply says, if you're from the nation of Ammon and Moab, Moavi, Moavi, you can't come into Klal Yisrael. But there was indeed a halacha that was taught to Moshe at Sinai, not written, that you have to make a drasha, you have to explain this pasuk as follows. Lo Yavo Amoni is talking about Amoni as a male from Ammon cannot come into the nation of Israel, but a female Ammonite, she can. And similarly, Umoavi is talking a male from the nation of Moab cannot join Klal Yisrael, but a Moavite, a female from the nation of Moab, can indeed come into, and Rusa Moaviah, that was a female from the nation of Moab, the ancestor of David HaMelech. Accordingly, David HaMelech could come into Klal Yisrael. He wasn't descended from a male Moabite, but a female Moabite, and accordingly, not a problem. And based on that, an amazing explanation by the Gaon Baal Baruch Tam of a pasuk in Tehillim. There is a pasuk in Tehillim that says as follows. It's in Perek Kuf Yud Tes, and it says as follows. Sarim Ravtuni Chinam. This is David HaMelech saying, the governors, the officials, they ran after me, they attacked me for no reason. Umidvarcha pacha libi, and I was scared from what your words were, Hashem. Sasa nochi al amirasecha, kimotzei shalom rav. Nonetheless, David HaMelech says, I was delighted with your amira, as if I found a great treasure. So what is going on here that he's saying that the governors, they were chasing me for no basis, but I was still scared. Midvarcha. What is a dibor? But on the other hand, in contrast from diborcha, the dibor, midvarcha, that I was scared of, says David HaMelech, I was very happy with imrasecha, with your imraim, your amirot that you said, that was like a treasure to me. So Rabbeinu Bachya, he comes and explains, what's the difference? What is umidvarcha? What is dibor? Dibor refers to something that is Torah shebichtav. What is written in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah? It's written in the Torah. That is dibor. On the other hand, amira refers to something that is in the oral law. That is Torah shebe'alpeh. And based on that, Rabbeinu Bachya, we can understand this pasuk as follows. David HaMelech says, Sarim ratfuni, that the Sarim, they ran after me, these officials, these governors, these distractors from me, they ran after me chinam for no reason, because they were making baseless claims against me. But having said that, says David HaMelech, excuse me, it says David HaMelech, however, umidvarcha pachalibi, from your diburim, that is based on the Rabbeinu Bachya, that is referring to the Torah shebichsav, the written Torah. I was very nervous. Why? Because if you look at the Torah shebichsav, our pasuk, it says, lo yavo amoni moavi b'kal Hashem, you can't come, no, someone from Moab, someone from Ammon, Moab, or a descendant of theirs cannot come. And David HaMelech says, I was very nervous, because based on this pasuk, I cannot come into Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, continues David HaMelech in that pasuk in Tehillim, but he says, I was very scared of the pasuk from the Davar, Dibor. That he's talking about the pasuk in the Chumash. However, Sasa Anochi Al Imrasecha, however, I was so happy from the Amira. I was so happy from the Torah Sheba'al Peh. That's the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai that came to teach that this pasuk really means that if you come from a male from Ammon or a male from Moab, that is the problem. That's when you can't come into Klal Hashem. You can't marry into Klal Yisrael. But if you come from a female, that is from the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, the Torah Sheba'al Peh, then David HaMelech says, when I learned that Amira, I was so happy. That's why the first pasuk, let's read the pasuk again. Sarim ratvuni chinam, Those Sarim, they ran after me. Lirduf is to run after Chinam without a basis. However, having said that, David HaMelech says, Umidvar Chapach Alibi, I was very scared of the Dibur, the Torah Sheb Yechsav, because I didn't have a basis to argue that I can come into Klal Yisrael, because the Pasuk in our Parsha says, Luyavo Amoni Amoaviba Kal Hashem. However, I'm so excited, says David HaMelech, Sasa Anochi Ali Mrasechem, when it comes to the Mira, the Torah Sheb Yalpeh, that was the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That is like finding a treasure chest, a treasure of gold and jewels, because the drasha was, when our pasuk says you can't come in, Amon and Moab, that's talking about a male. But the halacha l'Moshe Misinai says, if you come from a female of Amon and Moab, Amonia or Moavia, then indeed it is permitted. And now we're moving forward to our last Vartura, number 5. It says in Chaf Gimel, the same Perek, Pesach Ches, Lo Titaev Adomi, Ki Achicha Hu, don't reject someone from Edom, because he is your brother. So this is yet another nation that's discussed. Don't reject them. They can literally marry into Klal Yisrael. So the Yisod HaTorah brings a drush on this. And he says, what is Adomi? Typically, the Pashto is talking about somebody from the nation of Edom. But it also means red. Like the pasuk says inya adimu ketola. So red represents sins, chataim, sins, terrible things that we do. And the Torah is telling us as follows: al tires ha'avonos v'chatim ketoivot she'ein lahem od takana. Don't look at the sins that you have committed in the past as an abomination that cannot be fixed, because in fact you can shechen yachol ata lahavcham la'achicha. You can turn those red things, it says, don't reject Edomi, those red sins that you have, those terrible things that you have, don't reject them. Don't think that you have no salvation from them. There's no way to fix them, because in fact, you can turn them into your brother. What is that talking about? So there's a concept that Chazal talk about, that sins, when we do tshuva, not only regular tshuva repentance, but we do it from ahava, from love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This donos nasu lo kezchuyos. This amazing. The sins that we did on purpose, intentionally, they become credits. They become zchuyos, something that's beneficial, something that's great for us. Because we did tshuva, it's something in the past. We have terrible charata, we have regret over. And we went through the tshuva process of recognizing the sin and saying, Kabbalah al-Atim, we're not going to do it again. We felt bad. We really did a real tshuva, even something that really was a demerit that we should not have done, but you can turn it into something that is positive. And accordingly, the Yesod HaTorah explains in our pasuk, Lo titaev, don't hate, don't panic over Edomi, over those red, terrible sins, those blemishes that we have on our souls, because why? Ki achichahu, because you can turn it into your brother, you can turn it into something that is positive, you can turn it into a merit for you when you do tshuva me ahava. And it's just, he mentions as follows, that if you look at this language, don't reject Edomi ki achicha hu, those words ki achicha, those are six letters, the chaf yud and etc., alaf ches, yud ches, those also spell out the words of the mamar as follows. It's the same letters. If you look at the first letter of the words im yuhu chataechem kashanim kashelag debino, it's a pasuk. It says im yuhu chataechem kashanim, if your sins are like red, you can turn them into the white of snow. It's the same six letters, aleph yud chet chaf chaf yud. That is ki achicha im yu chataechem kashanim kashanim yalbimu. That's the same concept as we're saying in our pasuk. Sinning is terrible. Don't do it. But if you did it, when you go through the tshuva process through ahava, you can turn them into credits for you, because you have come from the lows and gone really on to the heights, despite the sins in the past, and you can turn it into something that is like your brother, that is something that is very positive. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.